Good evening, everyone. Great to see everyone tonight. Thank you for coming to First Church of Christ Scientist here in Madison, Wisconsin for our Wednesday testimony meeting, and a big welcome to everyone I see who's joined us online. Let's begin our meeting by coming together and singing. Hymn number 140 can be found in the brown hymnal in the pews. If on our daily course our mind be set to hollow all we find, new treasures still of countless price God will provide for sacrifice. Hymn 140. Big thank you to Lyle and Jonathan for being here this evening and helping us with all the music. The scriptural selection today starts from the book of Joshua in the Bible. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And the officers commanded the people, saying, "When ye see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore." And Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, "Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "Hereby ye know that the living God is among you. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over that the Ark of the Covenant passed over and the priests in the presence of the people, about 40,000, over to the plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And from Psalms, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. From Mark, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye not know when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Teach me thy way, back to Psalms. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Make me go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. And from Luke, then Jesus called his 12 disciples together, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. And now I'll read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. From beginning to end, the scriptures are full of accounts of the triumph of spirit, mind, over matter. Moses proved the power of mind by what men called miracles, so did Joshua. You must utilize the moral might of mind in order to walk over the waves of error and support your claims by demonstration. The word Christ is not properly a synonym for Jesus, though it is commonly so used. Jesus was a human name, which belonged to him in common with other Hebrew boys and men, for it is identical with the name Joshua, the renowned Hebrew leader. There's a tradition that Publius Lentulus wrote to the authorities at Rome, "The disciples of Jesus believe him the Son of God." Those instructed in Christian Science have reached the glorious perception that God is the only author of man. The Virgin Mother conceived this idea of God and gave to her ideal the name of Jesus, that is, Joshua, or Savior. Jesus mapped out the path for others. He taught that the material senses shut out truth and its healing power. Mortals must get the true idea and divine principle of all that really exists and governs the universe harmoniously. This thought is apprehended slowly, and the interval before its attainment is attended with doubts and defeats, as well as triumphs. It is well to hope, pray, and wait patiently on divine wisdom to point out the path. Do you know your course? Can you steer safely amid the storm? Acting up to his highest understanding, firm at the post of duty, the mariner works on and awaits the issue. Thus should we deport ourselves on the seething ocean of sorrow. Hoping and working, one should stick to the wreck until an irresistible propulsion precipitates his doom, or sunshine gladdens the troubled sea. We remember that through spiritual ascendancy, our Lord and Master healed the sick, raised the dead, and commanded the winds and waves to obey him. Grace and truth are potent beyond all other means and methods. We must look deep into realism instead of accepting only the outward sense of things. Can we gather peaches from a pine tree or learn from discord the concord of being? Yet quite as rational are some of the leading illusions along the path which science must tread in its reformatory mission among mortals. The very name, illusion, points to nothingness. When once destroyed by divine science, the false evidence before the corporeal senses disappears. Hence the opposition of sensuous man to the science of soul and the significance of the scripture. The carnal mind is enmity against God. The central fact of the Bible is the superiority of spiritual over physical power. When we wait patiently on God and seek truth righteously, he directs our path. If you venture upon the quiet surface of error and are in sympathy with error, what is there to disturb the waters? What is there to strip off error's disguise? If you launch your bark upon the ever agitated but healthful waters of truth, you will encounter storms. Your goodwill will be spoken evil of. This is the cross. Take it up and bear it, for through it you win and wear the crown. Pilgrim on earth, thy home is heaven. Stranger, thou art the guest of God. Students of Christian Science must not only seek but strive to enter the narrow path of life. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Man walks in the direction towards which he looks, and where his treasure is, there will his heart be also. If our hopes and affections are spiritual, they come from above, not from beneath, and they bear, as of old, the fruits of the Spirit. Teach your students the omnipotence of truth, which illustrates the impotence of error. The understanding, even in a degree, of the divine all power destroys fear and plants the feet in the true path, the path which leads to the house built without hands, eternal in the heavens. Love is enthroned, that evil or matter has neither intelligence nor power, is the doctrine of absolute Christian Science, and this is the great truth which strips all disguise from error. Love inspires, illumines, designates, and leads the way. Now we'll have silent prayer, followed by the audible repetition of the Lord's Prayer. the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Hymn 591 is next, and this hymn can be found in the gray hymnal in the pews. We cannot turn away from God, because whichever way we face, Spirit is there. In every place, every direction, everywhere, Spirit is there. Hymn 591. Just a few announcements before we continue with our testimonies. I do see a number of people have joined us online. So just again, a warm welcome to everyone tonight here at First Church of Christ Scientist in Madison. We're glad you've joined us for our testimony meeting tonight. Please know that our regular Sunday service is every Sunday at 10 o'clock in the morning. And we'd love for you to join us either here in the church or online. At that very same time, we offer a Sunday school that is open and available to all children and teenagers up to the age of 20. And we certainly invite them to attend again here in church or online. And they are warmly welcome. We also, in our church here, have a Christian Science reading room that is available to all. It is open to anyone who wants to learn more about Christian Science and go forward on their spiritual journey. You can ask questions, read, study, listen. And this fall, we'll restart our Bible study group. If you're interested in that, you can leave your name with the reading room, and we'll let you know the details. And you certainly can also purchase the Bible and Christian Science publications. So whether you come into the church, it's here in our foyer, or call us during our hours, please know we're open every day. You can find the specific hours on our front door or on our website, but you will find a peaceful atmosphere for your spiritual discovery. There is an important meeting notice tonight for members. Specifically, there was originally a business meeting scheduled this week, and there has been a change. So the meeting scheduled for tomorrow has been canceled, and canceled for this week. It is being rescheduled for next week on next Thursday, July 16th at 7 o'clock on Zoom. So there also was an email sent to members regarding that change, unexpected change on the business meeting for members. And if you're not a member, we certainly would love to talk with you about that. It's a wonderful opportunity for growth and spiritual growth and service. Again, just reach out to the reading room and we'd be glad to talk to you about that. And now the meeting is yours. It's open for your testimonies, experiences, remarks on Christian Science. If you're here in the church, simply raise your hand and Simbrilli would be happy to bring you the microphone. If you are part of our online community tonight, you are very welcome to participate. We'd love to have you participate. The process for doing that is you will unmute yourself, and then Eli, who is there shepherding our online community, will let you know when to speak. So thank you again.
Go ahead, Barbara.
Recently, I had the occasion to think about the meaning of a gift. The occasion was not a gift-giving holiday, but rather a visit from some new friends who visited my husband and me from out of state. Since they were planning to be here for nearly a week, I did a lot of planning to help ensure that things would go smoothly, and I mostly enjoyed the experience. But near the end of the many hours I spent developing activities and meals, I became a little bit resentful and anxious about their visit. They deferred completely to me, stating that anything I planned was fine, but that made me feel even more responsible. At that point, I knew I needed to upgrade my thought. And as soon as I decided that, an angel thought told me that what I was doing was preparing a gift for our friends, and that that purpose could not be burdensome or misguided. As a result, I was able to relax my perfectionistic outlook and know that the love that was impelling this visit could not be thwarted in any way. And so we experienced a lovely visit with our friends and had the occasion of wonderful weather and the opportunity to share some of our favorite things here in Madison. Since then, the concept of what a gift is has remained in my thought. The dictionary defines a gift as a voluntary transfer of something, such as an item, service, or money to another person without expecting payment or anything in return. And that does accurately describe a human gift, but I wondered how to spiritualize that concept. So I went to the Bible for more information. I found answers in several citations written by Paul in the New Testament. He writes, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Unspeakable means beyond expression, as in too intense, sacred, or beautiful to adequately describe. What is that unspeakable gift of God that Paul is referencing? The J.B. Phillips translation reads, "Thank God then for his indescribable generosity to you." While instructing a group of Christians on the topic of giving, Paul says, "Let everyone give as his heart tells him, neither grudgingly nor under compulsion, for God loves the man who gives cheerfully." After all, God can give you everything that you need so that you may always have sufficient both for yourselves and for giving away to other people. My conclusion is that the human concept of giving is based on the idea of self-sufficiency. In other words, if we personally have enough money, ideas, supplies, etc., combined with sufficient compassion, we can be a cheerful human giver. But the key to the topic of giving is understanding and adhering to the idea of God's unspeakable gift. We thank God for this gift by reflecting his indescribable generosity in our lives. We ourselves do not provide the gift. God provides all, and we demonstrate his provision, but we never possess it. We can always be cheerful givers because we always have access to God's eternal supply. I'm so very grateful for this insight and for our lovely friends that help me better understand God's unspeakable gift.
Thank you.
Go ahead online.
I'm sorry, was I called on?
Yeah, you're good. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. My name is Donna Thiessen. I'm actually in Virginia, and I missed I'm a new student to Christian Science, but it's been a long journey in the making. I'm a huge fan, or have been since 1986, of Michael Nesmith, who was raised as a Christian Scientist, and I can see now how it influenced so much of his music. I estimate at like 70% of his music. And he pa unfortunately passed away in December of 2021. And since then, since there's no new music coming from him, but I see how his songs still resonate, I've undertaken this journey to learn more about Christian Science, which I see influenced so much of his life. And I see now, or believe, and please forgive me, I'm new to all this and very much self-taught, that this he was brought into my journey. Spare you the story of how it came to be and whatnot, to lead me here today, where I've been undertaking a process of understanding some things people might call trauma that happened to me early in my life. And Christian Science, what I've come to understand, and I've been a subscriber for a few years of the JSH online. Listen regularly to the Sentinel and Sentinel Watch and those publications as often as I can. I do have to say, I'm very sad the Bible Lens has gone away. I listened to that from previous years over and over, and I'm very sad that that's gone. I don't know why it can't be rebroadcast. You all would know much more than I do. But anyway, I wanted to say that this coming to Christian Science has caused me to understand that the essence of Donna, of me, and to forgive my voice for being what it is, I'm new to this, it was created by God, who I am, and my essence. And that cannot be hurt by anything that our society, our material society, corporeal society might call, label as trauma. And that being which God created still shines in me and radiates from me. I can feel it come up, particularly when I do my Christian Science study, and how I'm able to reflect my light to other people, might be at the grocery store or the gas station, and someone will look at me and I can see their light shine on me. So I'll conclude. Thank you all for listening. It's very kind, and it just helps make it more real to me, this interconnectedness of God's light and God's being with us, in us, and through us. For my brain to now also hear me say these words. And if you're interested, I would refer you to Michael Nesmith. He was a member of the Monkees in the 1960s, if any of you are old enough to remember that, or the revival in the 1980s on MTV, but that's how I came to it. But he wrote a song called Rays, See All Those Rays. And now I understand somebody wrote afterwards, oh, he wrote that about this, or, and then now I know it's all Christian Science. See all those rays shining from the inside out, and So if you're inclined at some time, maybe go to YouTube and Michael Nesmith Rays. Maybe it will touch you as it has me. His mother, Betty Graham, Betty Nesmith Graham, invented liquid paper, and she was a Christian scientist, and brought him to Sunday school and raised him as a Christian scientist. And anyway, thank you all for listening. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to speak so very long. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. It was just perfect. Thank you.
Hi, Lynn. Thank you for the readings. I would like to share a little testimony of what happened to me when my friend and I decided to take a little trip to Vienna and Prague. I believe it was in March. And she was supposed to take care of the flight. I was supposed to book the hotels. And then at the last minute, she changed her mind and decided to take care of everything, which I was very grateful for. So when we landed in Vienna, and then we took the train to get to the neighborhood where she had booked the hotel. When I saw the neighborhood at first, I was like, okay. To be perfectly honest, it looked very unsafe. So, I mean, living in Europe for like 10 months, I've learned to not judge a place by its, you know, outside appearance, because a lot of the buildings can look very old, but then the inside is very modern and everything. So I was like, okay, let's just not be too judgmental and give it a try. And then the more we're walking, the more I looked around and I was like, okay, this does not look safe at all. So when we got to the place, it went from like just a bit, okay, this is fine, to just scary. And then when we walked in, the place looked just very unkempt, kind of dirty. The bathroom was broken. There was no heating. I think it was in March, so it was still a bit cold in Austria. And I started feeling really angry at her. And I remember just going back and forth between the bathroom and the room, and just like that feeling just kept growing in me. And I saw her just sitting in a corner, feeling completely like defeated and obviously guilty about the situation. So at that moment, I decided to pray about the situation. Because I was like, okay, it's not fair to be angry at her, because clearly she wouldn't have booked this place if she knew that it was unsafe and unkept. She definitely wouldn't have put both of us in this situation. So I didn't want to add to her stress, or you know, whatever she was feeling at that time. And I just started praying about it, just to acknowledge that she and I were both protected. You know, God wasn't going to bring us to this new place and completely abandon us, like, okay, you guys just figure it out. And I would have to admit, reluctantly, I included the owner of the place and even the people who were living in that place at the same time, knowing that we were all under God's protection and that there was no reason that she and I would feel, you know, unsafe because of the neighborhood or the neighbors. And what I didn't realize is that at the same time, because she's a friend from church, she was also praying. And about 10 minutes passed, she called me. She was like, "Okay, Jackie, I booked a different hotel. Let's just leave." And I was so relieved because I had already anticipated that she and I were going to fight about it, and she would probably want to spend a night there because we had traveled the whole day and we were both tired. We just wanted to, eat and then go to bed. But then I was like, okay, this is probably going to be another fight, trying to convince her to leave this place and find a different. But it just seemed like God had adjusted everything. Like she took the lead and then booked a different place. And we were able to just leave that house as quickly as possible and even laugh about it later. So I was just very grateful for God's protection and for divine mind, for a kind of harmonious handling of the situation. The fact that I didn't personally have to speak to her to find a solution, but God, the same way He was speaking to me, He was also speaking to her. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the readings tonight. In my backyard several years ago, I planted some blue muffin viburnum. And there are three bushes, and they flourished, and I had to cut them back almost every year. But last year, they were attacked by viburnum leaf beetles. And it was a huge infestation of these things, and they cover every leaf, they eat the leaf, perforate it. And last year, when this happened, there was nothing on that bush except, just a couple of little stems. I was away for on vacation for a couple of weeks. I came back, and the bush was again flourishing because it had resilience, because it either warded off the bugs or whatever. But this year, the same thing happened. In spring, you expect bushes to, be full of green and flourishing and so on. And again, the bugs attacked them even worse. And there was barely a stitch of leaves there. But at some point on the two nearby ones, some of the leaves were saved by a flock of cedar waxwings. They're a beautiful bird that usually only see them in the fall when they eat your berries, but they came and they ate a lot of the larvae. And so even though my bushes still look pretty barren, now, like a month later, they're flourishing, and I may have to cut them again on top. But my thought was, as a human thought was, 2 years of this assault isn't going to be good. But again, there doesn't seem to be an issue. So what are the spiritual lessons? I liked what the speaker from Virginia just said, that your essence can't be hurt or harmed. And so the essence of a viburnum, blue muffin, or a person, your essence cannot be touched by evil or mortality or whatever. The resilience of the plant, resilience of mankind in the face of repeated challenges. The fact that help can come from any direction. We just need to be alert to it, aware of it, welcome that help, wherever that might be. And then the ideas that come to us, the inspired thought, inspired action, and to have a defense against errors of all sorts is important in our life. Thank you for the readings. And Blue Muffin, Viburnum.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Louise.
Oh, I hope, I don't know what I'm doing here. I can't find the things to work, so you just have to tell me if I'm talking or not. I wanted to say that when I was a child, I decided to, I thought about truth a great deal, and I had made up my mind I wouldn't tell any lies of any sort and kind. And I think that worked very well for me most of my life. I don't recall it so much in the line is it's the white lie stuff, but I don't think that's all. Anyway, the point being that I just really have refused to do anything of it, and it doesn't always make me too popular with my friends. And so I kind of wonder what in the heck is she talking about when she talks, when Mary Baker Eddy talks about truth. I'm not sure that it's exactly the same thing as I am doing, as I think about, and I'd like to know how to get a better view of it, and I guess I just don't know. So if anybody's got any way to tell me anything about this, I would appreciate it. And along that line, there's so much about the Bible and science and health that I simply do not understand. And I think I'm being dishonest if I don't mention that. And if anybody could explain to me what I'm supposed to understand, I don't know. I don't know when there's all this stuff that goes on in the Bible that I just read chapter after chapter and I have no idea what they're talking about. Why not? Why don't I understand it? So if you know what I'm doing wrong, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you.
Marjorie, go ahead.
Thank you. I don't know if I can address Louisa's question right away about honesty, but I need to think about that a little bit because I have some thoughts about it when I was a child and how honesty looked in my household. But what I wanted to share tonight was when the new visitor or the new student of Christian Science from Virginia was talking, and she mentioned the idea of some humanly feeling some trauma had having occurred in her earlier life. I immediately thought about the Bible story of the three Hebrew boys that were basically being punished because they refused to worship anything, any other deity but God, but the one God. And they were threatened and thrown into a burning fiery furnace. And really, no one would expect them to survive that trauma. And yet, they were discovered the next day walking around. And even the image, I think, of maybe what I would think of as the Holy Ghost, a fourth image was there in the furnace with them. And when they left that place, that area, not even the hairs on their head were singed. Not even the smell of smoke was on their clothing. Because as far as I understand it, you know, God had protected them from the punishment of being obedient to God, that they couldn't be punished for doing what was right and what they knew that they should be doing. And certainly God, even if we did less than what God wanted us to do, God still isn't going to punish us. He's going to protect us and correct us. And that story has always meant a lot to me because I'm one who made a bunch of mistakes in my young life, got in way over my head with people I had no really earthly business being around, but I found it very difficult to leave for a long time. And I know that God wasn't punishing me. My mistake in belief about who I was in the world was kind of leading me to my own punishment. And the punishment stopped and ceased completely when I finally had the courage to just go to God and say, all right, I give up. I don't know how to do this. I want to get out of here. I need help. I never want to go back to this again. And anything, you know, if you get me out of this predicament, God, I will devote my life to you. And so that was my way of sort of plea bargaining with God, in a way. Some of you have heard that already from me, but it always moves me a lot because it was a very powerful transformation for me. And I just want this woman to know that there was no trauma that you ever really truly suffered. The world wanted you to believe that, and the world maybe presented you with that claim, but it doesn't have anything to do with God or the kingdom of heaven. And that is where you reside, right? You live and move and you have your being in the kingdom. And you cannot be touched. Not a hair of your head can be touched. Not anything can be singed. Not even the smell of smoke would be on your clothes from whatever that human experience was. And my human ball and chain experience disappeared. I know, because I got back to Christian Science and I studied and I learned, I worked and prayed a lot to be unburdened from that sense that I'd messed up so badly that I was carrying around a ball and chain. And that was never true. And the ball and chain has clearly disappeared. I've moved on. I've made lots of progress. I've made lots of strides in my understanding of practicing Christian Science. I'll continue to be a lifelong student of Christian Science. And you too can be a lifelong student. But don't let that claim of smoke or fire tinging you or any part of you linger any longer. You don't need it. You can let it go. Christian Science can free you because God freed you from that experience all along. It never was part of you. I just wanted you to know that and hear that. And thank you for sharing your experience. And welcome to Christian Science. Thank you.
And it is time, so we're going to go ahead and sing our final hymn, which is number 85. All the way that we must go, we will take at thy direction, where the floods of trouble flow, find thy perfect, calm reflection. on the path that has no turning, patience, courage, meekness, learning. Hymn 85. Thank you, everyone. Good night.